My name is Wendy and I'm an addict. And real nervous. And I'm sitting here and Faith looks over at me and she says, "It's getting real crowded in here." Okay. So if you could please join me in a moment of silence so that I can get out of my own way, I'd appreciate that. Thank you. So my name is Wendy and I'm an addict. And a real quick story before I thank the individuals that made it possible for me to get here today or be here today. I remember maybe 14 years ago, and I was in my mid-30s, late 30s, looking at 40. And I was riding in my car, living in Atlanta, Georgia at the time, and I was feeling hopeless. I was feeling worthless. And I was reflecting back on my life riding in the car. And I was thinking about how many years behind me that I had wasted. And I was thinking about the years ahead of me. And I told myself, you know, there's more years behind you than it is in front of you. And I said, what am I going to do with my life? You know, I told myself, you dropped out of high school, you left home at 14, you've been using crack for the last 20 years. What are you going to do? And this is a true story. I had a vision. And I envisioned myself behind the podium. And I was in front of a whole lot of people. And what I thought, I immediately thought that I was going to be a preacher. And I thought that because I had been in church. You know, I love God. I was serving in the church. But then I was leaving Bible study, going home and smoking crack. So I told myself, no, Wendy, that's not it. And what I know today is that God was just showing me a glimpse of what my future was going to be. He was showing me and preparing me for such a day as today. And so I thank God for this day. I thank God for having a plan for my life even when I didn't know what it was going to be like. I want to thank Angela, this area, for asking me to come and speak. This is my first time speaking at a convention of this magnitude. So I'm humbled. I'm grateful that all those years that I thought I wasted, that God used them or is using them to help somebody else. Most of all, I want to thank my sponsor because they called her and asked her to do this topic, this workshop. I want to thank her for believing in me from day one. So when they asked her, because she has been so blessed and fortunate to have God use her on many occasions, she gave them my name. So I thank you, sponsor, and I love you so much. I want to thank all of you who found out that I was speaking and you said, I'll be there to support you. So thank you for being here. To the newcomer, our message is hope that any addict can stop using, lose the desire, and find a new way to live. I was that addict that thought I was going to die getting high. If I did it, so can you. My clean date is March 3rd, 2008. I just celebrated 8 years clean last month. I'm here to tell you that the last 8 years have been the best 8 years of my life. So I thank God for that. So my topic is, it says getting out of our own way. But of course, I'm going to keep this on me. Getting out of my own way. And I want to start with reading this in the basic text. Who's an addict? It says, one aspect of our addiction was our inability to deal with life on life's terms. We tried drugs and combinations of drugs to cope with a seemingly hostile world. But this was the hit for me. It says, we dreamed of finding a magic formula that would solve our ultimate problem, ourselves. Getting out of my own way. You know, I realized, which I didn't before, that I was the problem. That I was the person that stood in the way of my own personal growth and development, my own success, my own happiness, because I thought it was everybody else's, it was their fault. And I'm glad that when I got here, you all said things like, focus on you. You said it starts and ends with you. I had no idea that I was the problem. Like, my first time ever being introduced to any type of recovery was, you know, many times I cried out to God, please help me, God. You know, please. You know, on my hands and knees. I can remember going to a church with my son, holding his hand, and I went inside the church, and you know, I was crying out, and I couldn't even, because I was so ashamed of what I had been doing, I couldn't even tell them what the problem was. I just fell on my knees and started crying. And still didn't know that it was me. But my first introduction was, so after crying out so much, I called a number, and I ended up at this recovery place, right? I go in, and what I know today was they did an assessment on me, right? And based on all the questions that they asked me and the answers that I gave them, they told me to show up. So I showed up, and when I got there, it was a circle. We were in a circle on what I know today was a group. And I go in and I sit down, and this lady comes in, the facilitator, and she starts yelling and starts telling us what we need to do. And I immediately thought, this is not for me. My ego, my pride, my self-centeredness. Because I thought, no, I ain't that bad. I'm not like these other people in here. You're not going to tell me what to do. I don't need this. And so I left and never went back. And so years after that, I used. Based on the decisions and the choices that I made, I now realize that, yes, I was the person that was in my way. So for years, I made decisions like getting in relationships, because I told you I left home at age 14 because my mother was physically and verbally abusive, and I didn't think she loved me. So I left home at 14, and I moved in with a 21-year-old drug dealer. Quit school. Had a resentment toward my mother for many years. So I was in the way of building a relationship with my mother. Same thing with my sister. I have a sister today that we don't even speak. You know, I've done some work, so I've tried to reach out to her, but she's still in that place. And so she's not ready. She still blames me for whatever. I don't even know what she blames me for. But we don't have a relationship. I made decisions to just not get help, to continue to use even when I got fired off jobs because I couldn't show up for work. I remember, mouth dry. I remember I was on a job and it was my birthday. And I gave out all these flyers. I mean, inviting everybody to my birthday party that was going to be at this club. And so when it came down to it, the night of the party, I was the only one that didn't show up. Yeah, because what I said was, I'm just going to go get one. I was going to go get one, and then I'll make it to the birthday party. Well, I never made it. And I didn't make it to work the next day either, because half the people that I invited worked with me. So how could I show up to work when I ain't even show up to the birthday party? You know, they blowing up my phone, I'm not able to answer it. And so when I did make it back to work, the lady called me in the office, and before she fired me, she said to me, "Sweetie, you just need to learn how to love yourself." And I don't know how she knew. I mean, I guess it was obvious. But I didn't know how she knew to say, you know, I need to love myself. And so, you know, at that time, I didn't know that I wasn't loving myself. But I kept on getting high after that. You know, I made decisions to continue to get high when I left my son at the daycare, because I couldn't move off that chair to leave out of that house to go get him. But then I had the audacity to call the daycare the next day. And the lady at the daycare told me that a parent took my baby home and brought him back the next day. And I still got high. And I couldn't understand. You know, people used to tell me, "Something wrong with you. You need some help. Why you just can't stop getting high?" And talking about trying to dream it up, finding a magic formula, I can remember one day saying, "God, if you wanted to, you could just snap your finger, you could say a word, and I could be delivered, God. Why won't you?" Because I wanted that magic formula. I didn't realize that I had to do some things. And so I continued to get high and over and over again and couldn't stop. And then I moved to North Carolina, and what got me there, I've been there for the last 10 years, and what got me there was, you know, I was being evicted. And so the guy that I was dating, he told me, "You could come live with me." And, you know, I shared with him that, you know, I'm getting high, you know, I got this problem. And he said, "It's okay." He said, "Don't worry about that. I'll help you with that." And so I moved in. Well, the disease moved in with me. And so he was a truck driver, and every time he left, I left. And so he got tired of that. And so one night, me and my son, I was at a friend's house and I stayed all night, and he got so tired that he brought all my clothes and he put them on top of my car. And when I went back to get the rest of my things, he wouldn't let me. He called the police. At the time, my tags on my car were expired. He told him her tags expired. And so me and my son was out in the street, and I had nowhere to go. My mother had moved to Apex, North Carolina at the time, so I called her. And she said, "Baby, come on to North Carolina." And so I came to North Carolina, and when I got here, the first thing my mother did was took me to the weed spot. Now, on my way here, driving to North Carolina, I said here like I'm in North Carolina, but you know what I mean. On my way to North Carolina, now I didn't know about the geographical change, the terminology. What I did know was I was leaving Atlanta, and I was going to North Carolina, and I didn't know anybody. But when I got there and my mother took me to the weed spot, it was all over. You know, it was over me thinking that I was going to do something different, change my life, because I didn't know where any spots were in Apex, North Carolina. So for a year, I used, until I cried out to God again one night. Had to be maybe 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. I was tired, and I opened up the phone book and I called this number, and it gave me the NA hotline. And I went to my first meeting. I drove myself there. When I got there, I felt at home. There was a gentleman with 11 years clean, older gentleman with the jewelry, the nice car, just my flavor. Because when I left home at 14, I went and lived with a 21-year-old man. And so that developed a pattern. And over the years, it was a pattern. And so when I saw the older gentleman, after he shared, we exchanged numbers, and I immediately got into a relationship. He would pick me up. I lived in Apex. He would drive me to Raleigh to all the meetings. And I heard you guys say, get a sponsor. I heard you say, get a home group. I heard you say, you know, give me all the suggestions that we give. But he was my sponsor. He would take me to conventions. He would take me to all my meetings. I wouldn't get out of my way and take the suggestions. And so I didn't know. I did get a sponsor. However, I did not use her. Like I said, he was my sponsor. Whenever I had a problem, I would call him. And so we dated for 8 months. And after the 8 months, we broke up. And so I didn't have a network of women. You know, because I didn't get with the women like y'all told me to. And so when we broke up, I relapsed. And I was out there for another year until I got tired. And I came back, you know, crying out again. I came back. But when I got back this time, it was different. I knew that I had to take the suggestions. I knew that I had to get out of my way because my life depended on it. So I got a sponsor. I got a home group. When I got that home group, they put me to work immediately. So I began to do service work. Started in that home group, became the GSR, went to the area. Did different. I've been serving ever since I've been here. You know, I have sponsees today. I just changed my home group Because that home group that I joined, I was there for 7 years. So for the last year, I changed my home group because they were crying out for help at this particular home group. They were calling around, and, you know, even though I was at the area and I was in my other home group, they were coming in, they were sharing, you know, at a women's facility. They were saying, we need help out there. We need some women to come out there. It's 30 newcomers at this meeting every Thursday. We need some experience, strength, and hope. So I changed my home group. And so I show up even on the days that I don't want to. And I find when I don't want to, when I show up, the women are so appreciative. They're glad to see me. And so, in getting out of my way, you all helped me get out of my way. Taking the suggestions, doing service work has helped me get out of my way. But most of all, the step work that I've done has helped me get out of my way. You know, step one, two, and three I use on a daily basis. You know, realizing I'm powerless, not over the addiction, but people. You know, places and things, you know, especially people. You know, my son, he's 19 years old. He just went to college. And, you know, he was in an early college high school, and the high school is on the campus that I just graduated. We took classes together. And so, you know, I mentioned how I came in, you know, where I had dropped out of school, but now I have a bachelor's in social work. And we do recover. And I start the master's program next month. Getting out of my own way. And so my son, you know, he went to, now he's at UNC Charlotte, and his first semester, now we're talking an AD honor roll student in high school, but his first semester, he came home with D's and F's. And I can remember calling him saying, I'm disgusted with you. And so then I had to say, Wendy, you're powerless. Surrender. Acceptance. Being honest that he's a man now. Yeah, that's your baby, but he's a man. And he has to take responsibility for his own actions. And what I told him was, guess what, boo? I already owe thousands of dollars in student loans. So this student loan that I signed for, you fail if you want to, I won't be signing anymore. So now he's in his second semester and he don't call home that often, but when I call him, he says things like, yeah, I'm doing fine. And I just take it for what it's worth. Okay. But I send some texts, you know, I love you, hope you're doing well, baby. But these steps and these spiritual principles have taught me how to grow up and get out of my own way. And so I'm so grateful for them. So if you're new, stay. Take the suggestions. Get you a sponsor. Do some service work. Do a 90 and 90. I'm real grateful for this program because, as I said, the last 8 years of my life has been the best 8 years. So I'm going to keep coming. I'm going to keep showing up. I thank God for the opportunity, and I thank you for listening. My name is Wendy, and I'm an addict. Yeah.